Jazakallah khairan, Hazrat Wala, for sharing your wisdom with us and giving us your valuable advice. Inshallah, we will strive to follow your advice. I now request our guests who have questions to please pass on your questions or to the volunteers, inshallah. You're welcome.
Lengthwise, it may not be possible. I have got questions arising. Jinab Mufti Sahab, I think I have read one of your books, Ulumul. Sorry. My name is Musa Raza. I am an ex-civil servant of the Government of India. I retired a few years ago as the secretary to the Government of India. I was chief secretary of Jammu and Kashmir. And in the last 15 years, I am serving the community in various ways, including running an educational institution for Muslim girls in Chennai. I am a student of Islam, basically, and I have been studying various aspects of Islam, including Islamic banking. And there are many questions which are being raised. I am only going to ask questions relevant to your lecture. You have mentioned that the rules of Islamic finance are not restricted only to the Islamic community, but are of universal validity and universal applicability. In that case, why do we call this then Islamic banking? Why do we not call it universal banking? Because the moment you say it is Islamic banking, you are raising the hackles of the non-Muslims. They say, oh, there's something to do. As you very correctly yourself remarked, you call it Islamic banking, then they say, you are wanting to convert us to Islam. So call it universal banking. Why call it Islamic banking? That is one question. The second question here is, apart from the very brief period of 30 years, during which period the Khulafa-e Rashidun ruled the Islamic world, is there any instance in the history of Muslims in the world, Muslim states in the world, where these principles of Islam which you have adumbrated, both the ethical and the legal principles, that they were applied in any Islamic kingdom, any Islamic state in the world? I have been a student of Islamic history. I do not find, I am sorry to say, a single instance anywhere in the world, even in the heyday of Islam, immediately after the Khulafa-e Rashidun, succeeded by the Umayyads, succeeded by the Abbasids, succeeded by the so many people in Egypt. You have even Salahuddin was not able to apply these things in Egypt or in Syria. So I would like to be enlightened if these have been really applied and have been found to be successful anywhere in the Islamic world. That is question number two. Question number three, which is very relevant, is you have mentioned that the wealth of the people should not be, you quoted from the Quran, wealth of the people should not be allowed to circulate only amongst the rich people. It should be circulated amongst the entire community. How does this get implemented in real life? How do you ensure that this wealth of the rich people gets circulated amongst all the poor? I do not know, again, any practical example of this this having been implemented anywhere in the Islamic world. Here is another very interesting question. The market economy says that if two parties are agreeing and consenting on a transaction, such a transaction is valid, according to what you have stated. But the fact remains that in the case of the murabaha, one of the Islamic ways of buying and an item, an asset, from the bank or from an individual, there it is only the consent. The profit can be charged. I can charge 30%, I can charge 40%. If the other party agrees to pay me 40% profit, it is valid according to what I know. Please enlighten me if I am wrong. How does the state regulate that particular item of profit, that thou shalt not charge more than X amount of profit? Is it possible? Is it being done? And finally, what is your view on here?
What is?
Hiyal. Kitabul Hiyal. Imam Qassab, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Shaibani. All of them endorsed Hiyal. If they had not done that, Hiyal means devices to overcome the rules of Hadith, Quran and so on, how to bypass them. This has been done many years ago by even great people like Imam Qassab and Imam Shaibani and Imam Abu Yusuf amongst the Hanafis. And you have even Imam Qazwini who has done it amongst the Shafi'is. And barring two or three great Imams who opposed this, like Ibn Taymiyyah and Imam Ibn Qayyim, I don't find that there was any strong opposition to Hiyal. And Hiyal finds its place in Hidayah, in Fatawa-e Alamgiri, and it has been accepted by these two great volumes which are being taught in all religious schools. Is not, if Hiyal was valid at that time and remains valid, why is it not possible for us, for our Imams like you? Because you are the equivalent of Imam Qassab and Imam Shaibani and Imam Abu Hanifa. I mean, today, they were there at that time. Today you are there. Why is it not possible for you to utilize the same methodology which Imam Qassab used and Imam Shaibani used and Imam Abu Yusuf used to find ways and means? And one last example. It is reported that 40,000 crore rupees of Muslims, 40,000 crore rupees of Muslims is lying in various banks in India alone, earned as interest, but because it is interest, Muslims are not able to use it. So 40,000 crore rupees of Muslims is not being utilized by Muslims in India alone. What is the way out of this problem? I would request you to enlighten us. Thank you.
I am very grateful for your questions, but I am afraid that I will forget what you have said. because you have raised so many questions, and in fact every question that has been raised by my learned brother, you know, needs a long discussion. However, I very briefly would like to summarize the answer. First of all, my brother has asked wealth of the people should not circulate only among the rich. So what is the practical way to apply this principle? I think what I have just elaborated is that it is the three basic elements that help the wealth to circulate among the rich only. One is interest. Second is gharar, that is gambling, a form of gambling. And thirdly, trading in money and derivatives. So these are, and short sales, etc. If, for example, if they just imagine, if the market has no interest, if the market has no interest, then it will be compelled to adopt the deposit or to receive the deposit on the basis of profit and loss sharing, which means that whatever profit will be earned by those who borrow money from the banks will be distributed to the depositors on equitable proportions, and therefore the money supply would come from above to the lower level. And that is exactly what we mean by equitable distribution of wealth. So I believe, and I have studied it, and I have collected, you know, statistics on that basis, that if the financial system is based on equity, not on interest, then the whatever production will grow will be divided among the a large number of the people, among large number of the society. What Islam says is not that that is claimed by socialism, that all the wealth must be distributed equally. No. It says that equitably, which means that should not be the rich people only who benefit from the production, but also the rich should have, the poor people should have some benefit from it. You just analyze. If instead of interest, an equitable proportion of the production is distributed through banks to the depositors, what will be the outcome? Will be that the bhav of the people, of the wealth, will turn from above to the lower pool. So this is the practical way that we may adopt. Second question is very important, in which my brother has asked me whether these principles have ever been implemented throughout the history of Islam after the Khulafa'i Rashidin. My answer is that general impression when a person studies the history of Islam, one gets the impression that Islamic principles were never implemented after Khulafa'i Rashida. This is true to some extent, in the sense that the political system that has been developed after Khulafa'i Rashidin was by and large not on the basis of Islamic principles. But so far as economic and legal aspect is concerned, even in the days of those people who were named themselves as Khulafa, but they worked like kings, even in those days, the economic system and the legal system was in fact based on Islamic principles, and therefore we have not only in the Khilafat al-Rashida, but as has been predicted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were many periods in which a person used to spend some money to charity, but he did not find anyone to accept it because of the fluence of the wealth among the people. So whenever these principles and rules have been applied, it brought this type of result. But if we fail to implement it in some way, it is not the fault of the system. It is the fault of ourselves that we did not implement it. Thirdly, you said that in Murabaha has been allowed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the consent of the parties. What I have said is not that consent of the parties is not enough. Only consent of the party is not enough for the validity of a transaction, which means that in some times the Sharia has imposed some rules that even though the parties agree, the transaction would not be taken as valid because that consent would harm the society. But it does not mean that in every case of consent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has invalidated the transaction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا يُلَذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَعْقُلُوا أَمْبَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That if a trade is by mutual consent, then it is allowed for you. But what I submitted was that it is not only the consent of the party that validates the process. If there are the consent of the parties, but the Holy Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited that transaction, then it will remain prohibited. This was my point. Uh, next question was about Hiyal. Hiyal, in fact, means some devices or stratagems to solve a certain problem. Hiyal are of two kinds. One kind of hiyal is that is prohibited by all imams. No imam has ever allowed it. No imam has ever allowed it. It means the hila, or it means the stratagem that aims at contravening the hikmah maqasid al-sharia, that is the basic object of sharia. For example, if one type of hiyal is that a person does not want to pay zakah is obligatory, but he does not want to pay it. So when a year passes on his wealth, he just gives as a gift to his wife before passing of 1 year. So he is not obligated to pay zakah because 1 year has not passed on it. And when it was passed to his wife, wife is not obligated to pay zakat because 1 year does not pass it. Then when the next year comes, then the wife gives it back to the husband. And, you know, it continues for all times to come. Yes. So this type of hila, this type of device is prohibited by all imams. No one has endorsed it. There is another type of hila where, for example, there is a real need for a transaction and some difficult point has arisen in which a hila is adopted to find out a way, a leeway to avoid this that difficult position. Let me give you an example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting and a person came with a certain type of dates. Those dates was liked by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has brought it from Khaybar. So he asked the person who brought it that all the dates of Khaybar are like this. He said, no, this is a better quality of dates, and we purchased one sa' of this type of date by paying two sa' of dates of a lower quality. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, this is haram, this is riba. So, and then said, instead of doing this, you please, you know, sell your two sa' of lower debt by coins, by dirham and dinar. And then purchase this high quality debt by the dirham and dinar. This is the way to make this transaction permissible. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught him this way out. This type of hila is halal. And when we talk of Islamic finance, Islamic banking, we sometimes adopt this type of hila, which is valid. And for example, in Murabaha, you have just mentioned. And many people think that there is no difference between Murabaha and interest-bearing loan. In fact, there is a big difference between the two. In interest-bearing loan, you are trading in money itself. Instead, in Murabaha, you are selling some commodity. And just as I have mentioned that if the transactions are backed by assets, and that is why I call it Islamic economy as asset-backed economy, so then there is the evils that have been found in the present crisis will not emerge, because it will be always based on some commodity. And the last, I think you have mentioned that why we call it Islamic if it has universal application. So I think I have in my talk, I said that you can name it by whatever name you like. I say that the best name for this is asset-backed economy. Asset-backed economy. And this is the Islamic economy. So if some people are irritated or they have some allergy, you know, from the word Islam, you can use this word. There is no problem. But we have some principles, we have some philosophy, and we have to follow it. Wassalatu wassalamu alayhi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. On behalf of the organizers, I would like to request the invitees who would like to ask questions to just follow two conditions. One is, please ask only one question and keep it brief. And two, please respect the sensitivity of this event and restrict your questions only to the topic. Inshallah, we have more than a dozen questions which we have received by...
fuel is... has finished.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Most certainly I cannot be like our Musa Raza Sahab asking six questions. If everyone started asking six questions, Maulana, I have to sit here for at least for 6 weeks here. Esteemed, most respected Mufti Maulana Sahib, our brother Janab Hashim Sahib, his illustrious son is here, Maulana, respected elders, and my dear brothers and dear friends. My name is, as I give my card, my name is Muhammad Abdul Ali. I hail from the old historic family of South India, and my forefathers, they were the rulers before the British came here, and we ruled for more than 100 years. Alhamdulillah. My question now, Maulana Sahab, which is really, personally, it is always itching me. Let us be honest to Allah and let us be honest to each other. We are living in India, our secular country. It is not a Muslim country, it is not an Islamic country. And we don't have Islamic bank in India. And every one of us, in all fairness to Allah and all fairness to Maulana Sahab, we are taking business loans from banks. And we are supposed to pay interest to banks. And we are also paying, no doubt. How is it possible without an Islamic bank in India to take money, our friend, the magnates who are here, who are doing business of 400 crores, 500 crores, 600 crores, I don't think whether even if Islamic bank comes here in India, will they be prepared to give?
Will they be?
Prepared to give so many crores of rupees. And second question is, Two, then after that you can make one. And then we can go for dinner. Maulana Sahab, the second question is, if any person, any ordinary person for instance, if he wants to do a business, like, samjho ke gareeb log hain, koi kaam wala hai, ya driver hai, ya jo bhi hai, uski khwahish rahengi ke unke bachchon ko aage badhana, padhai mein ho ya business mein ho, they want to encourage their family. They want to encourage in studies, in education. Even to take 2 lakh rupees to do a very petty business, they have to go to a bank or to a financier or anywhere. Without which, either you will not give or I will not give. Not to 1 or 2 or 100%, it will be thousands and lakhs. Our Muslim community is very poor country, I mean poor people in this country. How do they go? And finally, before I say Assalamu Alaikum, business practices. Business practices are also there in perhaps in your country and also in our country, in our society. The evil practice, more particularly in Islamic, I mean in Islam, in Muslims, to take dowry during marriage. It's money. It's a business. We are doing business with the bride's side. Dulhan ke paas, dule wale, bachche ke padhai ke upar, wo agar doctor ho, ya engineer ho, ya businessman ho, 5 lakh lao, 10 lakh lao, 20 lakh lao, crore lao. Ye gharib aadmi bhi, main dekha hoon, hamare ghar mein, ameer mehal mein, gharib log hain, jahan par kam as kam 25,000, 50,000 mang rahe. Kya ye Islam ijazat deta hai ke mard, from the boy side to go and ask from the bride side, let us khasam khao Allah ki, ke ye guna hai Allah ki nigaah mein, Rasul ki nigaah mein, ke hum mard bachche wale jaakar, aurat bachche ke paas, unke maa baap ke paas jaakar, bheek mangte. Islam ke khilaaf, Islam ke sakht, Quran ke khilaaf, Rasul ke khilaaf, sharam aana hum logon ko, phir hum log musliman kehte hain, jaakar shaadiyon mein business karte hain, dulhan ke paas jaakar lekar.
Assalamu alaikum. Maulana has asked me to react some of these things which is what our Nawab Sahib has said. As far as Islamic banking is concerned, it is true, it is not here available in India. But there are people who are trying every hook and corner to bring Islamic banking system. And I do agree with Musa Raza Sahib. They don't want to name it as Islamic banking. They were thinking of having as an alternate banking or preparatory banking or some ethical banking, because it should not be, nowadays it becomes, unfortunately, Islamic means there is a lot of things are going on. I assure you, sir, there are some people who are working on that point, and inshallah, it will see the day of the light soon, very soon, and there will be some type of thing. Because once we wanted to have Islamic banking, we had to amend our constitution, I mean banking law system, which doesn't allow to our banks to go for what you call equity mortgaging, these things. So Mr. Akib is here, his whole team is working on this, and please pray for that success. Inshallah, it will be successful, Nawab Sahib. And I'm thinking that it will be successful. There are some, yesterday also, we had some from the bank, from Chartered Bank of England, he came here and was discussing what you call non-banking capital finance system, which he is trying to adopt from that one. So we will do it. As far as your question is concerned about borrowing 2 lakh rupees, I do agree there are some lot of not banking system, Kharaz-e Hasna, there are people there who started doing this job for the poor people, which how can, everywhere it is there, and I don't think that is, we ask this question to Maulana about this one. As far as your concern about JJ, it is everywhere there, it is universal, and it is, we have to do that first. I think, Nawab Sahib, when you marry your son again, or anything, you don't ask any jazz from your thing. That's what I'm
asking. This is a practice according to business.
No, that's true.
Only
that's
business practice.
Yes.
No. I have not taken one single.
Any of friends, as Maulana, you see, as you know, because if Maulana is very tired, this morning he has to address almost nearly 1,000 ulmas, and they are also asked very questions. But this is not correct, sir. The people already returned the questions. We have to be given preference to them. And if you have given the answer, that is what it is. Education is universal, and this is what this is. No, but there are 4-5 questions. How can I just pass on this thing? People are asking questions, and okay, because the MLA, so I have to listen to him. He's a politician. I can't avoid.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I'm MLA from MLA means Member of Legislative Assembly. My name is Hassan Ali. I have nothing to say great about me like Musa Reza or Mr. our Prince Sahib. Sir, recently a girl came to me. Our Indian government is giving loans to for higher education people. Now recently a girl came to me and she scored the first mark in our district. And she was offered a medical seat, but she refused because the family was not afford to pay that amount. So when I recommended her to the bank, she refused it. She refused, and you know, I raised that money in a different way, medical seat. Now there are millions of our Muslim students who is passing with credits. If they want to join medical college, medicine or engineering, the government is willing to give a loan of 3% after finishing their education. What is your advice on this? Shall I ask them, get it? Because the government is doing it for you. Especially for Muslims, the central government is allotting some 15 points program, and one of the program is to give them a loan. Are we going to take it? Are we going to refuse it? I want your advice on this, sir. Thank you, sir.
Before Hazrat asked this morning also, he has clarified about interest. If you want to pay interest for certain cars, it is allowed. Maybe Hazrat will tell you the way.
Unless I fully study the scheme offered by the government, I cannot say anything. Because I have to study what are the terms and conditions, and what conditions are this type of loan is offered. So therefore, I cannot give an answer offhand unless I, study the whole scheme.
Hazrat Wala had a delayed flight last night. He came in close to midnight, and he had a very long program this morning. So he is tired, and it is part of our duty to, inshallah, to understand. So we apologize. We can't take all the questions that we have received. At this time, I'd like to request Janab Muhammad Ashraf Saab to please deliver the vote of thanks.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
The questions that generally were raised tonight are the questions that have been raised at many places when I talked about Islamic rules and principles of business and trade. And there was a time in those countries in which Islamic banks or Islamic financial institutions are working today, in those countries there was a time when we spoke of Islamic rules and principles, the people used to make fun of them. They used to say that it is a utopian idea which cannot be brought into practice anymore. But after this awareness and this knowledge of Islamic principles was spread among the Muslims of those countries. Alhamdulillah, there were people who strived hard, who tried hard, and at last they succeeded in establishing Islamic institutions. And now, alhamdulillah, there are more than 200 Islamic financial institutions working in the world, not only in Muslim countries, but also in non-Muslim countries, in England, in UK, in America, in other non-Muslim countries also. So, the basic purpose of this discussion is to create awareness and to create understanding of the true understanding of the rules of Islamic business and Islamic trade and Islamic finance. Once this awareness is created, then it will induce people to try their best. And as I have rightly pointed out, alhamdulillah, this effort is going on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may grant success to it.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمد صلی اللہ رسول الکریم موسٹ ریویئر اینڈ لرنڈ اسپیکر آف دی ایوننگ عالی جناب مولانا جسٹس مفتی تقی عثمانی صاحب مدد اللہ العالی ہز ریسپیکٹڈ الیسٹیس سن جناب اشرف حسن عثمانی Sahib, our leader and my elder brother, Janab Muhammad Hashim Sahib, and all the invitees who have come at our invitation at a very short notice. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I am really proud and privileged to propose a vote of thanks on this August meeting, which has aroused a lot of interest among our people. You see the hall, it is jam-packed. We had arranged for 300 seats. I think it is more than 300 people who are assembled here. That shows there is as pointed out by our Maulana, there is an awareness amongst us, and that awareness has to be created so that we can try to get the real Sharia banking in the days to come. And even the business practices, what we are following now, we are compelled by so many reasons in the present system and in the secular country, we are forced to undergo so many hurdles which are not in conformity with Sharia. But inshallah, when the days come, we will try to convince our government to see that these business practices as well as Islamic banking comes into play in our country also. I am really grateful to our Maulana who has come all the way from Karachi. As you know, he was scheduled to come here on Monday evening, but because of some immigration problem, he has to stay back in Karachi, and with great difficulty he got the immigration clearance. And he has to fly to Dubai, and from Dubai he has come to Bombay, from Bombay he has come to Chennai. That see, in one day he has traveled to such a long distance, and he has come here. And last night at till 1 o'clock he was discussing with us with so many issues. And again at 5 o'clock he went to the Secretariat Colony Mosque, and there he prayed his Fajr prayer. And then he came at 10 o'clock for the Ulama's conference. And again, in the evening, he's here with us. That shows how much interest he has got and how much exertion he has undergone in these 2 days. Therefore, we are extremely sorry, regret, for we are not able that Maulana is not able to answer all your questions. I am hopeful that if you have questions, you can please send those questions to us. We'll pass on these questions to Maulana, and when he's free, he'll try to give the answers for all those questions, and that will be sent back to you for your information. Therefore, and the Maulana has also written so many books which are available in India about all about Sharia and about Islamic banking and about business practices, Sharia compliant. Therefore, you can also seek the help of our ulamas who are sitting here. They will guide you to get these books from Delhi and other places which are available in large number. And Maulana has also brought a few books about this Asan Tarjuma, which he has done in Urdu as well as in English. That is also available in Indian market, Indian bookshop. I would like you all to also to purchase these books and see how easily in Urdu as well as English he has written those things, and we'll be able to understand those things. And I don't want to hold you back for the dinner, and it's already more than 2 hours since you have been here. I am extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity he has given to us for hearing this great lecture, the enlightened lecture, which we have been longing for all these days. I must thank my brother and my friend Janab N. Farooq Ahmad Sahib, who is responsible for bringing this great personality from Pakistan to India. He has been trying for the last 4 years. When he inaugurated the Hashim Mosque in Ambur a few years back, he was invited. He has already accepted the invitation, but because of the diplomatic problems we have, he could not come to India. And now, with great difficulty, and I also should thank to our Janab Mukhtar al-Haq Sahib. He is working in this in the central government. He is responsible for getting the visa and other clearance for our Maulana. I am also thankful to Janab Mukhtar al-Haq Sahib, who has done great service in bringing Maulana to our place. I also thank all the our conveners, Janab Abdul Razak Sahib, Janab Muhammad Hashim Sahib, Janab M. Rafiq Ahmad Sahib, and Janab Farooq Ahmad Sahib, for making this program a grand success. And I hope this program will continue, inshallah, and we hope we will again trouble our Maulana to come again to India and give so many lectures, because we are not able to, in this short time, we are not able to get much of much time to get all the, what all he has got in his mind and heart, so that in the course of time we will definitely invite, and we will also cooperate in making this program a success. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity he has given, and I request Maulana to just make a small dua so that we can enter this function, this dua. Thank you so much.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdun da'iman ma'a dawamik, wa laka alhamdu hamdan khalidun ma'a khuludik, wa laka alhamdu hamdan la muntaha la huduna mashiyatik. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع، من قلب لا يخشع، من دعوة لا يستجاب لها. يا أرحم الراحمين، ابن فضل وكرم ثمار تمام قناهكم وعاف فرمان. يا الله ہماری مكمل مغفرة فرما. يا الله ہمیں سید راستوں پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں اپنے دین کی صحیح سمجھ عطا فرما. اے اللہ اس پر عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما. اے اللہ اس پر استقامت عطا فرما. یا اللہ تمام حاضرین کو ان کے تمام جائز مقاصد میں اپنے فضل و کرم سے کامیابی عطا فرما. یا اللہ جتنے حاضرین ہیں ان سب کی جائز مرادوں کو اپنے فضل و کرم سے پورا فرما. یا اللہ یہاں پر جو مسلمان تاجر یہاں پر یا کہیں اور پر یا اللہ تجارت میں لگے ہوئے ہیں اور ان کو تجارت کو اپنے اسلامی اصولوں پر ڈھالنا چاہتے ہیں، یا اللہ ان کی مشکلات کو آسان فرما دے، یا اللہ ان کے مسائل کو حل فرما دے، یا اللہ ان کے تجارت کو مکمل طور پر اپنی رضا کے مطابق ڈھال دے. اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک من عبدک و نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم، و نعوذ بک من شر ما استعاذک من عبدک و نبیک محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا، إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا رب.